Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, 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 folks, to this special edition of the Know Your Caribbean podcast, and a special shout out to you, Patreon posse. Without you guys, this podcast would not exist. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sticking with me, and thank you for being part of this storytelling. So, today, as promised, I am here to tell you the story of the Lugaru. Sukuya Vampire, going back to our folklore from the Caribbean. And I found this book, which is called straight out Obia, Witchcraft in the West Indies. This was written in the 1890s by this man called Hesketh J. Bell, and he was in Grenada for this time. I don't know what he was doing there. I don't really care, to be honest. But he did, of course, you know the backstory, okay, of what kind of person this is, the type of people who are writing the books about us. And once again, we are putting on our West Indian lens and removing the white colonial lens in these writings when we are talking, discussing, dissecting these histories. Did you all grow up with the story of a Sukuya, a Lugaru? Someone used to come, a spirit that would come into your house at night and suck your blood, suck the blood of animals, leave you with scratches. For me, you had to put your clothes inside out to go and sleep. There's all kinds of things. Like, were you told to leave salt or sand by the doorstep, or a cookie, a broom? There's so many stories or antidotes to stop the spirits from coming into your house and doing things like sucking your blood or riding you. By riding you, I mean what a lot of people have said is called sleep paralysis, when you wake up in the middle of the night or whenever from a sleep and your body's paralyzed, but you're awake. In St. Lucia, we call it kokma. In the Gullah Geechee community, it's called the buhag, and they say don't let the buhag ride you. What do you call it in your country? I would love to know. But let's dive into this story here and a deeper insight of what our ancestors believed. And did we carry on their legacy of belief of the Lugaru? So the subdivision of this chapter is called Vampires and Lugaru: Widespread Superstition, Vampirism, Lugarus in Grenada, Lugaru Traps, Lugaru sucking animals and horses in Grenada. So it goes like this. One of the most deeply rooted of all West Indian superstitions is a belief in the existence of vampires, or as they are called in Grenada, Lugarus. No amount of reasoning or argument will ever convince Kwashi. Let me pause there for a second. Kwashi is a term I found in a lot of colonial writings, which is to describe the wider black diaspora. So, especially if you're not of mixed heritage, if you are of more fully black heritage, you'd be called Kwashi. Now, Kwashi is a Ghanaian name, so it just goes to show how they were used. They took this very commonly used Ghanaian name and used as a means to just describe all black people in the Caribbean, especially within the British West Indies. And I would also find older, you know, parents, grandparents also say Kwashi, but it was used as a term of when society did something, I guess, would be seen as ghetto, like leaving trash. They say, ah, Kwashi again, things like that. So it's very interesting how, looking back where it comes from, what it means, and how it was used as a name of an African name was used as a means to degrade Black people as an all-encompassing term of degradation of, you know, the Black diaspora in the Caribbean. So he says, no amount of reasoning or argument will ever convince Kwashi that Lugaroos exist only in his imagination. But I see them often and often, sir, with my own eyes, quote unquote, he will say in answer to your arguments. And he as firmly believes in the existence of these ghastly beings as in any other object of his everyday life. This superstition is far from being restricted to the West Indies, and, strange to say, is believed by nearly all the races of Earth. Then he goes on to talk about basically the vampire story of a spirit come and suck your blood, you may turn into a vampire, blah de blah de blah. Right? Then he also starts talking about it in Turkey and how Christianity failed to destroy this belief. He goes on to say, Kwashi firmly believes that Lugaroos are human beings, generally old women, who have made a pact with the devil by which, in exchange for possession of some occult power, they have bonded themselves to provide a certain quantity of human blood every night during their lifetime for the delectation of the archfiend. Every night at first cock crow, Lugaroos wend their way to the mystic silk cotton tree. Now, I've seen this before. The referring of the silk cotton tree as a very spiritual place, a place where spirits live, a place where you go to honor spirits. I guess maybe because of how long these trees live for, how big they are. They also feel like a house in terms of its size and everything. But interesting to see that it's also mentioned here. So they wend their way to the mystic silk cotton tree, and there, by some singular and yet undiscovered process, will proceed to divest themselves of their skins, which are carefully folded up and hidden away. The Lugaroo Ekoshe then loses its human form, and it is only visible as a ball of bluish fire, which Kwashi swears anyone can see any night flying through the air on its way to perform its ghastly duties. Now, me growing up as a child, I didn't know, because we call them sukuya, right? That the sukuya's fire, the Lugaroo's fire, was blue. I always thought it to be an orange ball of fire, but no one ever specified the color of the fire, so that's also very interesting. This belief in the existence of the Lugaroos is ineradicably ingrained in the lower classes, and anyone suggesting that such beings did not exist would be looked on as an idiot. Many who do not allow themselves to be taken in by the trickeries of Obia still believe firmly in the existence of these vampires. And many old men and women have been pointed out to me as the undoubted Lugaroo. So that's interesting also, that certain elders in the community are seen as a Lugaroo. I didn't have that part growing up, really. I don't remember that. It was just a spirit that would turn up in the night. I have frequently been called outside by my servants late at night to see a Lugaroo, and certainly have often seen solitary lights flashing about on the opposite hillside, which were pointed out to me as Lugaroos, but might as well have just been lanterns carried by persons harmless, people watching a cocoa piece. This idea was always laughed to scorn, and my servants, I am sure, generally hoped I should someday experience the existence of Lugaroos in person. The principal function of the Lugaroos, as I have said before, is to suck the blood of a living person and animals, and any Kwashi feeling tired and languid on awakening will aver that he has been sucked by a Lugaroo, and will accordingly, ere nightfall, take a multitude of precautions as a defense against the attacks of the Lugaroo whose visit he expects. Doors and shutters, as it appears, are no barriers to a Lugaroo, as the smallest crack or chink in the wall is enough to give him admittance to his victims. It has, however, been proved that if rice and sand be sprinkled overnight in the front of the door of a cabin, the Lugaroo will be forced to stop and count every grain before entering. And as morning would certainly overtake him before the completion of the task, the inmates of the hut are secure so long as this precaution is taken. Now, that is what I was told growing up, that you have to put sand or salt by the door, by the windowsill, and that when the sun would rise, the sun would kill the spirit. It's very interesting. So this is, again, from 1893, Grenada. So me growing up 100 years later, we are still being told the same stories. My notice was drawn by a man walking in a garden to an old woman walking along the road close by. He bade me notice a bandage she was wearing over one eye and informed me that the old creature was a lugaru of the first water. He then went on to relate that the old woman was known to be a lugaru by all the inhabitants of the village and that he himself had suffered from her attacks. It appeared that he had awakened one morning feeling very weak and languid and, on looking about, noticed two or three drops of blood on his clothes. This discovery at once convinced him that he had been sucked during the night by a lugaru. Accordingly, he and his wife determined to watch during the following night and prepare themselves for the visit of the expected lugaru. Each kept the other awake and remained perfectly silent so as not to alarm the vampire. Everything remained perfectly still, and not a sound was heard until just after the second cock crew, when they both distinctly noticed a sound of scratching on the thatch roof above their heads. This was evidently the lugaru preparing to effect an entrance through the hatch. The man then noiselessly armed himself with a cutlass, and just as the scratching and rustling on the roof was growing once more and more distinct, he thrust his cutlass through the thatch just at the spot whence the suspicious sounds proceeded. A dismal moan instantly sounded through the air, and rushing outside, both the man and his wife heard the sound dying away in the distance. While they noticed, at that very moment, a bluish lugaru light vanished into the house inhabited by the suspected woman. Next day, the same woman was found lying in bed, half blind from some injury to one of her eyes, which she had said had been caused during the night by falling over a stump of a tree in search for some chickens which had strayed. This cock and bull story was of course not believed, and on the gardener making his known adventure, everyone was well pleased that the woman had received a well-merited punishment for her gruesome misdeeds. Well, what do you think? Is that a coincidence? Was she just happening to go into a house with her lantern at the time? What do you think? Lugarus are also placed in dire predicaments by the loss of their human skins. And I have frequently been told that should I ever come across a lugaru skin hidden in the bushes under a silk cotton tree, I was to be sure to seize it at once, place it in a mortar, add a sufficiency of pepper and fine salt, and pound away the mixture as long as I could. By proceeding, the vampire would be unable to resume his human shape and would soon die from the exposure. Cocoa thieves have been frequently found donning the attributes of a lugaru in order to ensure greater security.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the performance of the nefarious deeds. In fact, sham vampires have often been caught in the very act of devastating a cocoa piece. A man, stark naked with his body well oiled, would climb up a tree or gather the pods growing on a trunk within reach. With his confederate in similar garb, will glide about the vicinity, waving a lugaru lantern at the end of a long stick. The neighbors may see the light, but fear of coming across a real genuine lugaru will keep them indoors while the robbery is being committed. I have frequently come across these lugaru lanterns knocking about a cocoa piece. They are generally fashioned out of an empty dry calabash, having a socket made for the insertion of a candle and the size of the calabash cut to imitate the features of a face. It is very strange that this belief in lugarus and vampires, although so ridiculous and devoid of even a semblance of truth, should have obtained so firm a hold on the minds of so many races throughout the world. A few years ago, I was called out to see an old African woman who had been caught in the night before acting the lugaru. The old hag had been found at the ghostly hour of midnight, stark naked, dancing around a small fire, into which she from time to time threw a variety of substances, causing the flames to change color. Up to this day, I have not been able to divine the object of her antics, and it is hard to see what advantage or power that we wot of could accrue to the old dame in return for her midnight incantations. Dogs are commonly opposed by Kwashi to have the power of discerning the presence of a lugaru, and I have often remarked my dogs to set to barking furiously at people, apparently without rhyme or reason. It was sometimes only with the greatest difficulty that they could be prevented from jumping on and biting the man or woman who seemed so objectionable to them. The other Negroes standing around would look at each other significantly, and I would hear the word lugaru muttered. I mean, that's a lot there. I wish I knew more about this, what he said, this old African woman. Because at the time, they'd normally specify if someone was born in Africa or if they were born in the Caribbean, it would have been called a Creole. But looking at how he had described other black people in Grenada as Negroes, as Creoles, and specifying that this one was African, I find that very, very interesting. So this is in the 1890s. And the trade stopped in 1807, even though there was illegal trade. She most likely would have come to Grenada as a child, right? So within this chapter, he goes on to talk about how these horses on someone's plantation were getting very weak and tired all the time. And then, you know, they're saying it's a lugaru was sucking their blood. And then it turns out it was actually some other people who come in the night to thief the horses to go riding. And that's why they were so tired in the morning. But another part later down in the book, he speaks about Pela Bat's lugaru. So if you guys haven't listened to the podcast, either on Patreon or on our other platforms, you would have heard the name Pela Bat. Pela Bat. In the 1600s, late 1600s, was a priest who was in between Martinique and Guadeloupe. Apparently racist, bloody blah, slave owner, but he wrote a lot. He wrote a lot about the indigenous people. He wrote a lot about enslaved people. He wrote a lot about the culture and things, the practices that was going on in the Caribbean at the time. But he also spoke on this story, which I've come across in another book. But it was very, very interesting to hear it now placed in this context, because I had not seen this woman as a lugaru. So the chapter goes like this. So he is by this beach in the night with some captain. I'm talking about fireflies. And it says here, the fireflies were flitting around the summits of the nutmeg trees, and the infinite army of humming insects had begun their ceaseless chorus. A glorious full moon had risen, Venus-like from the waves, and was shedding her pure silvery light over the ocean, giving it the appearance of a mighty silver shield. Some flickering lights on the opposite hillside induced someone to say that the lugarus were out tonight and at their ghastly pranks, and another, the visitors began to make some reflections on this ridiculous, cruel superstition. Our host, in the course of the conversation, remarked how deeply rooted an ancient disbelief in the existence of vampires, and bringing out a very rare, valuable old work in the West Indies, which is Pela Bat's work, translated to us an interesting passage where the old author gave a most extraordinary anecdote relating to the wonderful achievements of an old sorceress doing business in the vampire line. The extract was as follows. Now, one thing, even in terms of calling the old author, this was written in 1893 when Pierre Labat was writing. This was in like 1690s. So it's very interesting like how we may condense old things all in one go, but even what we consider old now of this current book, Obia, we are reading, they saw Pierre Labat's book as old, right? So he goes on to say this from Pierre Labat. Nearly all the Negroes who leave their country having attained the age of manhood are sorcerers. Woo! Hold on. Okay. Now, they said that he really believed all black people were sorcerers, eh? Okay, let's continue. Or, at all events, are much tainted with magic, witchcraft, and poison. He sounds shook to me. Anyway, let's go on. The incident which I am going to relate, although extremely marvelous, cannot be doubted as I possess the proofs of its authenticity. The Count de Genes, commanding a squadron of the king's ships, having reduced the fort of Gori in 1696, embarked on two of his ships, all the Negroes found in the barracoons of the English traders, and dispatched them to the French islands. In one of these ships were found some black women much versed in the diabolical sciences and who worked their spells to such effect that the vessel became almost stationary. And the voyage, usually performed in twice 24 hours, took 7 weeks. The ship, remaining as if stuck fast in the same spot, a few leagues from land, notwithstanding that there was a favorable wind blowing continually. So basically, this slave ship is leaving Gori Island, is about to do the Middle Passage, and is stuck stationary even though breeze is blowing. And they're there for like, what? 7 weeks. And they just stick as madness, even though they can see land, right? So they could see Gori Island. They're saying what should take 48 hours is taking 7 weeks. So water and provisions began to fail. There was a great mortality among the blacks, and a great many were thrown overboard. Some of them, when about to die, complained of an old black woman, accusing her of being the cause of their death, saying that she had threatened to eat their hearts out, and that they were gradually wasting away, while suffering great pain. The captain of the ship caused the bodies of some of these Negroes to be opened, and their hearts and livers were really found to be as dry and empty as a bladder, although otherwise they seemed in a natural condition. The captain then caused the accused black woman to be tied to one of the guns and severely whipped, so as to force her to acknowledge the crime with which she was charged. As she did not seem to feel the blows, let me pause on that 1 second, as she did not seem to feel the blows, the surgeon major of the ship thought that the provost was not striking hard enough, and taking a rope's end, he struck her several times with it, with all his might. The witch, affected still more than before, not to feel the slightest pain, and told the surgeon that he was ill-treating her without reason, she would make him repent of it, and would eat his heart also. 2 days after, the surgeon died in agony. His body was opened, and his heart and liver were found to be as dry as parchment. The captain did not know what to do after what had just occurred. He might easily have had the woman strangled or thrown out into sea, but he feared that she was not the only one, and that her companions in the black art might retaliate and revenge her death. So, on the contrary, he treated her well, and made her the grandest promises if she would cease her evil practices. A bargain was made, and it was agreed that she should be sent back to her country with 2 or 3 others whom she named, on condition she promised to allow the ship to continue its journey. In order to impress this officer with a sense of her power, she asked if he had any fruit or anything else eatable on board. He answered that he had some watermelons. "Show them to me," returned she, and without touching or coming near them, I engaged to have eaten them before 24 hours are over. He accepted the challenge and showed her some watermelons, which he placed in a box which was immediately locked, and of which he placed the key in his pocket. The next morning, the woman asked him to look at the melons. He opened the box in which they had been placed, and to his greatest satisfaction, he found them seemingly untouched. His joy, however, was but of short duration, and was changed to extreme astonishment on attempting to take up the fruit when they were entirely empty and nothing but the skin remained, inflated like a balloon and dry as parchment. The ship was accordingly obliged to return to land and taking water and fresh supplies. The redoubtable woman was left on shore with several of her associates, and the ship thereupon continued and performed her voyage in a perfectly prosperous manner. So folks, I'm going to leave it right here about Lugaru, Sukuya. What do you call it in your country? I would love to know. What were the antidotes to stopping these spirits coming into your house? Give us some tips now. Anyways, folks, thank you so much for listening to this podcast mini episode about our Caribbean folklore from the book Obia, Witchcraft in the West Indies, written in 1893. Grenada. See you in the next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.